The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lotte Hurst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
But I don't think this is live. I think I can still prep even once the camera comes on.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. I do hope you hit the subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones as well. Of course, you can subscribe at all the usual spots like iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. And I'm Kyle Meredith, today talking with Jessica Frances Dukes about Ozark, the final season. Now, Jessica plays Maya Miller, the FBI agent, so we get into how her character fits into the final season storyline. Now, both an actress of stage and screen, we're going to discuss the crossover and similarities between portraying Millie in Broadway's Trouble of Mind and, of course, the FBI agent Maya Miller in Ozark. She'll tell us about taking inspiration from musical artists like Eartha Kitt when approaching her characters, making this season during the pandemic as well. And then we'll dig into the absolute darkness of Ozark's story, being surprised at how people receive the show, considering real-life turmoil happening all around us, and Maya Miller wanting to be the voice of morality. Now, we also get to hear about the parallels between her and Jason Bateman, what it's like to know it's the final season, and whether or not she thinks that a story like this can even have a happy ending. So let's get into it. Discussing season 4 of Ozark, it's Kyle Meredith with Jessica Frances Dukes.
Hi!
So here we finally are. Ozark, season 4, the beginning of the ends.
Yes.
How's it feeling to finally be in this spot?
You know, it's been a long road to lead up to here. We were shooting for a very long time, so I'm really, really excited to see everybody's work and, you know, working through COVID and all the things that we were doing. It's just it's really exciting to finally be at this moment. And I'm excited for the fans to finally get to go on the rest of this journey.
Yeah, and it has been a wait to get to here. But as you said, and I know that's the easy part of the topic right here, but it is such a unique way of doing things. Like, how has this been, like, how was the process so different this time that you had to do it through, obviously, the COVID era that we're in?
Well, you know, it actually, it snatches away your personal life. because you really do have to take care of the entire team. Like, every day you're out, you are possibly jeopardizing, you know, the entire company. So we really had to just stay strict and take care of each other. And, you know, we're really the only people we're around in these times. So it was really kind of awesome after being in the house for so long before we started shooting to be around everybody and be back together. So it was awesome. I mean, we had so many protocols that we had to kind of go through to stay safe. But the COVID teams were just top notch and they kept us so safe. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful environment.
And especially seeing what you've been doing since shooting it, because you've also been on Broadway, Trouble of Mind. And I kind of wanted to bridge the two worlds before we really get into Ozark here, because coming into that, I felt like there was probably a little bit of crossover. Well, I should ask if there's crossover, like, especially, do you find that you bring the way you approach what you're doing in theater to film? Is it a similar process?
No, you know, there are similarities in the character building, you know, how I find the characters. Music is a huge part of things for me, figuring out what the character's playlist is, what type of art do they like, all that stuff is still similar. But, you know, with theater, you're developing something every single day with a company of people, and it literally is like 8 hours a day. You're in a room with everyone building this masterpiece. And with TV and film, you know, you're doing a lot of that by yourself. So I use the tools that I have in rehearsal, the same sort of map for building the character, but then you get the set and it's opening night. There's maybe one little rehearsal or two. We don't do table reads on Ozark, so you really are thrown into the fire right away.
It's interesting. I've really enjoyed hearing you talk about, especially with Millie in your character that you play in Trouble in Mind.
I love her so much.
You brought up Eartha Kitt, I think, as one of the folks. That was great because it just gave me an excuse to revisit. I mean, that's a great era for me too. I love listening to that. I was not aware of Nina Mae McKinney. And so you kind of gave me that opportunity as well. Like, I would love you to talk more about that, especially as we're here with Consequence of Sound. Why is that your process and your routes to go towards the music to find the character that you're in?
For me, I'm also a musician. You can see my bass clarinet peeking through, and my clarinet is right here. So my father wanted me to be a musician. So I was thrown instruments very early on. And I look at companies, whether it be a cast of TV and film or a cast of theater, as an orchestra. And I think that each character is a part of, you know, the sound. And I always like to think, you know, what is the instrument that my character brings in? You know, what is it that I bring to the melody? And so even when I auditioned for Ozark, I was listening to the show as I was working on my sides, because there is a rhythm to it. So I just have a sort of musical love in my body. And I think that's what just turns things on for me. And with Millie, I had this whole playlist of, you know, wonderful songs from the 50s that she would have been listening to. You know, she's a wild one. And I wanted to create sort of a map for myself every single day before the show to listen to get into character.
So who were those artists for Maya Miller here on Ozark?
Maya Miller is a lot of classical. You know, she's a very different beast than I am. She's so by the book. She's so, she tries to be by the book. But she has a sort of zenness to her. And so I kind of zen out with her first. Millie, I had to ramp up. So I had to ramp up that energy because, you know, it's the stage, it's the Broadway stage, it's big. It's, you know, she was a lot, she came in with so much. And so it was a lot of revving up. And with Maya, it's a lot of calming down.
It's also kind of interesting, like, it's not a direct relation, but you're hitting on very big topics, very important big topics on both shows. Talked about, you know, there is a lot of talk of race and Trouble in Mind. And then with Ozark, of course, we get into the war on drugs and just everything that comes along with it. Do you find that with those characters are similar ground? And is that something that you all talk about on the sets?
You know, as far as Millie and Trouble in Mind, we talked, you know, consistently. It's such an important piece, you know, and the beauty about Trouble in Mind when we came into it is we were all there for that playwright. We were a part of something that was history, you know, bringing that play finally to Broadway after 66 years. And, you know, it's just the conversations in the room really prepared us for what we were doing every night. And also the experiences that we've all been through in this industry as actors, especially as Black actors in this industry. And as far as for Maya Miller, you know, I had to study a lot of things. And as far as how this country is run and the loopholes that happen that we see a lot in Ozark, we see these power structures and how people sort of get through. And it was just fascinating. It also, it makes you a little scared that so many things can be happening without us knowing, but it was a whirlwind of studying. And I just love sort of going in.
Well, I mean, Ozark, not that I have to say it, but it's a very dark show. I mean, you know, and to be able to still see ourselves in those characters, I mean, I think that's one of the greatest feats of this show right here. But still, to go into that mindset of the corruption, of the brutalness of what's going on in these, I mean, what is that like for you as you are looking at, you know, it's not like you get an escape from the world at hand, I guess is what I'm getting at right here.
Right. No, you know, it's especially for Maya coming into it. They talk a little bit about her background in season three, as far as like what her father was into and why he went to jail and all these different things. They touch on it very quickly. So she's not foreign to, you know, the idea of crime. But now she finds herself, you know, in the middle of something that I don't necessarily think she knew the what's the word, how major it was. You know, I knew she knew what she was doing, but I think you'll see in season four, it's a bigger rabbit hole than she ever knew or thought. And she gets dragged down there. And the darkness, I had to study so many things that they just rock your mind. You know, I studied so many FBI investigations. I was like, somebody's going to put a tap on my computer because they're going to be looking at my Google search and be like, what is this woman doing? But it's, you know, I think we fall in love with that type of stuff because we're all imperfect people. You know, we all make mistakes, and to watch people in the middle of just mistake after mistake after mistake and get caught up in this sort of spider web that they weave themselves, you know, it's juicy for us because we do it every day. It's not to that extreme, but yeah.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Now, I've heard in a lot of interviews, especially with other cast members, it seems like the question is always asked about why this connects so much with the audience. And I started thinking about it in the musical terms that we've been talking about. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons, by the way, just this might be one of them. But the way, you know, when we're sad, we tend not to listen to happy songs. When you're sad, you listen to sad songs. And when you're happy, you know, it's you sort of lean into it. It feels like there's a little bit of that going on here.
Yeah. It's funny, when Ozark season three came out, you know, we were right at the top of the pandemic. And I was like, how's this going to happen? Like, you know, so many people already in a weird space, like, are they going to receive the show? And, you know, and it was shocking how many people were like, I needed that. Like, I needed to see that somebody else's life was a lot more screwed up, about to say another word, but a lot more screwed up than mine. And that actually gives me an escape. And so it's weird that even though it's such a dark show, it is an escape, because you're like, oh, actually, my life is okay. You know, that's what it is for me.
Right. Well, it's also interesting because your character, again, with Maya, I mean, you've been such a base of morality leading into the fourth season. And I know that, you know, we were all set up with will she, won't she, you know, but having to kind of come in again in this darkness in what's going on, and to try to be some sort of rock, I guess. I mean, is that how you saw it?
I think she wants to be. I think she really, really wants to be a rock. I think she really, really wants to be the best at what she does. I think that she is the closest that we've seen get to the sort of core of what's going on. You know, the FBI agents in the mix before this haven't gotten as close as she is. And I think that she sees herself as sort of a crusader, or, you know, sort of a a hero in a sense. You know, it's funny, every day I would get to set my earrings that I wear the same earrings throughout all of season 3 and all of season 4, because Maya's not a fashionable person. But they're called the hero earrings. And I was like, I am kind of a hero. And I think she really, really wants to do good. It's just a matter of what that means and how that is in this story. What is she, you know, it's, she's at a place where she's like, what does being good mean? And how do I do my job and be good and save people and take care of me?
Right. Well, I especially love that, you know, the main person that you're working with character-wise is Marty. And that, you know, especially when you look back at his journey in season 1, talking about Jason Bateman's character, obviously, sort of being that same thing, you know, wanted to be the good person. And now that's the two of you faced with each other. I mean, that couldn't have played, I guess, better for me. This is not a question, more of a compliment to the series.
Yeah. And I just love it, you know, because Maya, Marty, and Jessica and Jason, you know, there's so many parallels that I love about it. Like, you know, coming into this massive show 2 seasons in last season, with people that I've been watching all my life, you know, it's just, you want to do your best. You want to do, you know, you want to show up and you want to have everything, you know, ready so that you're not a hiccup. And you meet Jason and you just sort of breathe, you sort of let go. And he just sort of sets up the room to do the best work that they can do. And I think for me, I look up to him so much. And I just love the way his brain works. So it works that Maya also loves the way Marty's brain works. You know, I think they have a lot of similarities. And me and Jason are both Capricorns too. So there's so many parallels that I use as Maya for Marty and I's relationship.
And then there's the added thing on that, because he does direct some of these episodes as well. So again, having your time spent so much with him, you know, as your characters, and then putting the director on it too. I mean, what does that add to the whole relationship and process?
Well, I didn't get a chance to work with him as a director both seasons. I missed him. He wasn't on my episode. But I, every day in the room, he's, you know, such a director. So it's, I get a little bit of a glimpse of what he's like. You know, I actually got a chance to work with Laura Linney this season as a director. And that was just epic. You know, it's always awesome when one of the team is directing, you know, and actors have a different way of talking to actors. But it's just, I soak in so much from all of them.
Again, here we are in the final season. You all went into it knowing it's the final season. That had to add something, I would guess, as well.
You know, I've been a fan of this show since day one, before I ever knew that there was a possibility that I would be on it. And so when I heard the end was coming, I think first I reacted as a fan, where I was just like, how are they going to tie all of this up? And then as an actor, I was like, what's going to happen to me? You know, what's, you know, and every script that came in, it's one of those shows where you think it can't get better. And then the script comes in and you're just like, I threw my script at one point in my apartment one night, because I was just like, these writers are genius. So I think that 4 seasons of this show, technically almost a fifth, because you have 2 parts, it's just the perfect sort of cap off and a perfect way to say goodbye. I think that, you know, certain shows sometimes will push it, and they didn't want to push. They were just like, this is perfect. And I agree.
Well, you know, no spoilers, of course, right here. But, you know, I would have to ask, is it possible to have a happy ending on a show like this?
You know, I don't know. I challenge you and send that back to you. You know, I think that life is life, and you can have a happy ending if you choose to, but sometimes you're in situations that it's not up to you. So I think we're going to find out how it kind of turns out for everybody. And I think everybody at the end of season 3 is sort of on their own trajectory, and it all sort of just unfolds in a beautiful way in 4.
Do you have any kind of expectation of fan takeaways of how they're going to feel at the end of this?
I don't want to say, I already know how I feel. And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, it's a roller coaster ride. It's a roller coaster ride. And they truly did say we're going out with a bang. We really are. And I'm just so excited to see you know, I'll be on Twitter looking at all the, you know, comments and everything. I'm excited to see how everybody reacts. I have no clue how they're going to react, though. I think people are going to be excited. People are going to be heartbroken. People are going to be happy. People are going to be, you know, it's definitely going to be worth it.
Yeah. Well, that's why we've loved it so much this whole time anyway. And Jessica, I loved what you've done with this character and how it's played in there, because it's become such an important part of this story. So, you know, congratulations on all of this.
So much. I'm having a ball.
I should also point out, I wanted to ask real quick before I get off of here too. So I'm based here in Louisville, and I know you've done, you know, lots of like Actors Theater. You've done some stuff here, right?
I came down there to do Macbeth a while back, and I played Lady M.
Wow. I'm sorry I missed that one. I tried to get over to Actors Theater as much as possible, but yeah, it was really great seeing that you were part of that.
I love them. I had a great time. I went to all the distilleries and I had a ball.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this. Again, congrats on everything that's been going on with you. I know, you know, with what you've got going on, there's probably much more to come as well. And I look forward to keeping up with it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
My thanks, Jessica Frances Dukes. Again, part one of the final season, season four of Netflix's Ozark is out now. And a big thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit the subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out. 3 new ones every single week at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews too. Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, mostly on Twitter, but also Facebook and Instagram, all three of them at Kyle Meredith. And I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Lucky.
Come on, man.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey there, it's Kyle Meredith from Kyle Meredith With. After you check out the latest episode of my show, be sure to check out some of our other great programs on the Consequence Podcast Network, including Standing BTS, a bi-weekly podcast covering all things BTS and ARMY, and The Opus, Consequence's original documentary podcast exploring legendary albums and their lasting legacies. So head to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.